And I'd like to look at this psalm tonight just briefly and devotionally under the heading of Love for God's House. When we choose psalm versions, as we like to do on a Sunday morning and evening, you're spoilt for choice with Psalm 23 and Psalm 84, a number of other psalms. This is a psalm that's often been put to hymnody and to sung verse. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Do we have love for God's house? Well, this is a psalm about God's house. Not the building, not the physical location. We're meeting in a different place on Sunday. At the moment, that doesn't matter. What matters is not even whether you and I are here. It's whether our God is here. Whether this is his dwelling place. Whether he chooses to make this his habitation. Notice the word is tabernacles. It's in the plural. Several of the other words, verse 2, the courts. It speaks of multiple places where God delights to dwell. Not Mecca, not Lourdes, not a physical location that we go up to, not even as the children of Israel did to Jerusalem. But now our place is where God meets with us. It can be at home. But it's most often when we meet together and we delight to come into the tabernacles. It's called the courts. It's later on called altars and the house of God. We like to use that term, God's house. We're going to God's house. That's a lovely term to use. The place where God delights to live and to dwell with us. Well, we notice as well the prefix is added, thy tabernacles. This isn't my church. It's not your church. This is thy tabernacle for the courts of the Lord. This is his. He owns it. Sometimes we act foolishly as though it's ours, our family. It's our history. No, this is the Lord's house. This is his ownership. And we delight to come to his place. How amiable. That's a lovely word. It means lovely. It means beloved. A place that's dear, precious, special, desirable. Is that my attitude, your attitude? Do we come formally? Do we come through habit, routine? Well, that's good if our feelings are not telling us to worship, but we should desire. We should have a longing. That's what the psalmist says in verse 2. My soul longs. Have you longed today to come to the dwelling place of God? Is this the highlight of the day? I know it is for many of you. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts. You see, the psalmist's desire, it's his choice, it's his longing. There's nothing he would rather do than to be in the house of the Lord. Well, what's this all about? What happens in this house of God? Let's consider some of those things. There is a picture here in verse 3 of the sparrow and the swallow. It's speaking of a place of warmth, a place of safety, a place where the young little chicks or birds, they belong. They're going to be fed. It's a place of security and safety where the young ones can rest and know that they're secure. The swallow, the sparrow, they found the shoulder of a tree. A nest has been made. And that's home. That's where they belong. If they fall out, they're in great danger. They won't be fed. They won't be cared for. They won't be nurtured. The swallow has found a nest, somewhere where the young can be laid, and you see it associates it straight away. The nest is the altar. It's the place where we bring our offerings. It's where we keep at least 10 activities. Let's briefly think of what goes on in the house of God. At least 10 things, I'm sure there's more. The reading of God's word. Do you know, I've often reflected, you read God's word alone and that's precious. But there is something about God's word being read publicly. It has a dignity. I don't know whether it's the pace that it's read. I think our authorized version certainly helps. But when you read it and hear it, oh, there's a solemnity. It's God speaking. It's God speaking in an unusual way. That's one of the activities in the house of God, the reading of God's word. That happened all the way through the Old Testament, in the place when they came to meet, the word of God was read. When it was read in Ezra's time, it was read above the people. The person that stood, Ezra, or one another, would stand above the people. It had an authority. God is speaking. It's his word. One of the activities. And we need to be under that word. We need to hear it. It almost has a higher authority when it's read in public. I'm sure of that. Secondly, of course, what goes on in this house is the preaching of God's word. Not a preach, as people horribly call it today. Not a talk. Hopefully not a lecture. But preaching. Where the preacher hopefully decreases. And God increases in our midst. That's the second activity. The purpose is conviction. The purpose is a change of heart and behavior as the word of God is preached and applied. We should long for that. Thirdly, there's prayer. Prayer. Public prayer, again, is different to private prayer. We try to pray for all the people. We try to bring everybody together in prayer. Publicly, on the Lord's Day, we don't often mention individuals, we try and represent all the needs of the congregation and all our desires. Oh, there's prayer, heartfelt, sincere prayer, where the one that leads should be trying to represent all the people before our God. And of course, the prayer meeting as well, as we have tonight. Fourthly, this is a busy place, isn't it? Fourthly, the worship, the praise, the singing of praise. There's something about singing together. In public, we have elderly members that love to sing at home. That's a grand thing. But to sing together, to sing the praises of God together, what an encouragement. That is truth applied to the heart. I was talking to an elderly pastor the other day. He's just about to turn 90. He doesn't go to a church where they sing hymns anymore. And he was lamenting. Oh, he said, the other day we had 5 choruses in a row, just repeated. He said, I didn't have time to think. I couldn't take it in. Oh, I long for hymns. God's truth applied to the heart. The Psalms taken from the mind to the heart. That's what we do when we come to worship. We meet for church meetings, members who are covenanted together. What's the purpose of the church meetings? To promote God's glory. That's the only purpose. Everything that we do to organize, to promote, to steward our resources for the promotion of God's glory and the Lord's people who are covenanted together. Meet there. Sixthly, we meet for baptism, public profession and declaration that we are children of God who stand on His side and we serve the King. What a delight that is when we can meet to witness and to rejoice in the baptism of believers. We meet for the Lord's table, a seventh activity, not so often that it becomes a routine, but often enough so that it's in our memory. The Lord's table, remembering the foundation upon which we stand, Christ's blood, Christ's righteousness. Oh, these are the activities that go on in this house. Eighthly, fellowship with God and with one another. We need one another. What a help we can be to one another. What an encouragement as we one another, one another. What a blessing that is. Fellowship with our God and for one another. I think these things are all in this psalm, directly or indirectly. Ninthly, care of the young. That's mentioned in verse 3. Of course, the rising generation. We need to have a big burden. We do as a church, I'm sure. But we need to be continually looking for the young. Looking out before the world gets them. Before it seems they're hardened and almost beyond reach. We need to have, tenthly, a care for the weary. Where do I find that? Well, that's the wells, isn't it? Verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. Those who are weary, those who need strength. And they come to the Lord's house and they're looking for a well. Wells of salvation. A place where they can draw, where the rain fills the pools and refreshes us. We need the refreshing rain of God's word and His presence. What a busy place this is, or it should be. These are the activities. These are the things that will bring down a blessing from God upon His people. And that's why the psalmist longs, desires, yearns to be in the house of God. They're a foretaste of heaven. Do you know all those things will go on in heaven, one way or another? And in following those 10 activities, we're being prepared for heaven. We're being made more holy. We're being sanctified. We're learning how it will be in heaven. These activities are all for God's glory. Every single one of them is aimed at promoting His glory. Not ours, but God's glory. For our sanctification, they're to give us strength, comfort, happiness, blessing. This has been described as the soul's sweet home. We don't have a resting place in this life. The Lord Jesus didn't. Foxes have their holes, but the Lord Jesus didn't have anywhere to lay His head. But this is where we rest. The soul's sweet home. We don't pick and choose which preacher we sit under. We sit under the Word of God. It's why when we put social media out and announce the title, we don't mention who the preacher is. It doesn't matter. The officers, they have the responsibility to invite those to preach, and we come under God's word. Do you know that's a habit for some? They choose who they will listen to and who they won't. No, it's the word of God, and we sit under it. We don't hop churches randomly. This is our home. Yes, we go on holiday, we have things to do sometimes for a purpose. But look at the intensity of the desire that the psalmist has. My soul longs. If I don't come here, I will faint. If I don't come into the courts of the Lord, my flesh, it's as though my body is crying out to be with the living God. This world, it's an evil world. It's a sorrowful world. It's a world that causes much pain and sadness. But this place should be the total opposite. This should be a place of happiness. This is the place where the heavenly dove descends and fills this place. This isn't a place for set pieces, for rehearsals, for a production. This isn't a place where we come and perform. No, this is where we meet with God. Spontaneous prayer, praise, worship, preaching, and the hearing of God's word. We do it spontaneously. We respond to the Holy Spirit who comes and meets with us. Above all, this is where God's presence is known and it should be felt in a very real, experiential way. That's why we come. We don't come formally. We don't come to go to church. We come to meet with God. I hope we've come in that spirit tonight. Let's remind ourselves often how amiable, how lovely, how beloved, how desirable is it to be in the tents, the courts, the house, the tabernacles of our God. May we have such a spirit every time we come to this place to worship.